Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we are serving such an awesome God. I say those things to encourage you, enlighten you. I say those things to challenge yourself. How awesome is your God? Is your God real? Is your God alive? Is your God well? Is he still on the throne? You know, some people don't have their God on the throne of their life, and they don't fellowship with God and walk with God and commune with him on a daily basis. And I say those things to challenge you. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can get so tied up in the affairs of this world and the things of this world. We've received the mind of God, and we start thinking like God does. And when we start thinking like God, many times we don't call upon him because we know his mind already. And we think, well, this is the way our Lord, our Savior, our salvation, our God would deal with this. And then we start taking things into our own hands, our own actions, and saying, this is the will of God. This is the mind of God. This is the way God operates. You know, a lot of times people, you say, you'll make some kind of a statement of maybe doing something or as under the Lord or doing something like that. And they'll think, well, let's go pray. You know, well, let me pray about it. And as you've heard me say, there is a time, brothers and sisters, that we need to pray. And I'm not taking away from prayer by no means. But sometimes, you know, I'm thinking, well, you hypocrite. You know, you're saying I'm going to go pray because it's a religious devil that you got. And you ain't going to go pray. You're just saying that to get out from under the press at the time. Sometimes, you know, there's no need to pray. We could see perfectly well. How come, you know, somebody says, let's go get some breakfast. Well, let me pray about it. You know, you're thinking, man, I'm hungry. Let's go eat. You know, we're not going to go pray about that, are we? But see, sometimes the things of God, there is a time that we should. Somebody say, let's eat. We might should pray about it. Think maybe the Lord's saying, hey, maybe you need to push it back for a day or two. You know, maybe you ought to fast. There's a time, but sometimes when it comes to things of spirit, we look for a spiritual, or we could say a religious reason for, well, let me pray about it. And you should. The Bible says that we continually pray, and we're always continually in the mind of prayer. And sometimes we don't need to say, well, let me go close myself in a door. Let me go hide myself away and pray about this. Sometimes it's just like it's a matter of being in that mind and saying, well, let's take care of this and let's do that. Now, the thing is that, again, I say that when we come into the mind of God, let me back up here and use this as an example. My wife's been married to me around 30 years, and she has come into a lot of my mind in the way that she would think when it comes to dealing with me. And if she knows that I don't like fried eggs, you know, why would she ask me every morning? We're talking about prayer now. But why would my wife ask me every morning and say, hey, honey, you want me to fry you some eggs? Well, how many times do I have to tell her I don't like fried eggs before she quits asking me? And sometimes people will petition me as a pastor, well, Brother Rob, and they're counseling, and they've got something in their heart that they're wanting to do, but my answer is the same. Like, well, you know, I ain't got no witness with that. It don't bear witness with my spirit. I don't think God's pleased with that. But then they keep asking. And see, this is the way sometimes people pray. They keep petitioning. And one time there will be a time where the Lord says, go on, Balaam, this is what's in your heart. And then they think like, well, I've got the will of God now. He told me to go. They kept petitioning. He said, go on, that's what you're going to do anyway. I've seen Brother Pike do that on many occasions. People kept pressing him. And finally said, hey, go on, brother. That's fine, man. Praise God. Go on. And then they go and do what they're going to do, and they feel like they got the mind of the Lord. They go tell people, oh, yeah, Brother Pike sent me, and Brother Pike told me to do this. But you know what? He got tired of them petitioning. He said, man, it's in their heart. That's what they're going to do. So let them go. Go on, Balaam. Now, when I say, as I made a statement here, and I know we haven't read the scriptures yet, and we'll read here in just a moment, as I'm saying, many times we come into the mind of God, in the mind of the Lord, and we operate. We should be. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And we start thinking like him, and we start doing the things that we know please him. And then pretty soon we walk into that mind so much that sometimes we don't petition the throne, and we should. Because sometimes, brothers and sisters, when we petition the throne of God, because sometimes there is a time, and we're petitioning the throne to find the will of God for that particular time, for that particular instance. I've shared with you that people that have a desire to win souls, they'll be with a soul winner. And they'll see the way this soul winner deals with an individual to draw them to God. And they'll watch this and they'll say, wow, I see how he done that. Boy, and look at this. This individual's under conviction. This person comes to God. This person has accepted the Lord, or this person has repented of their sins. And they saw the way this individual done that, and they said, man, that, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be a soul winner. So they go over to the other individual, and they remembered how this guy done it. And they try that. You remember me sharing the story with you, the man that I led to the Lord, and I led him to the Lord by putting my finger in his face and rebuking rebuking them, and I said, man, you're on your way to hell. You know, you are lost, buddy, and you're going to find yourself perishing. This is why I dealt with him very strong. He was a strong man, strong-spirited man, and he needed a strong-spirited soul winner to be in his face and let him know that his ways aren't going to please God. Well, this individual thought, well, man, I understand how to win souls, and he was engaged to a little gal. He's engaged to her, so that's what he does. She was Catholic. Goes home to her, and he says, man, you're going to hell. You know, and man, he's just wearing her out, rebuking her, man. And he's like, man, this way we win souls. He just about lost a fiance. You see, you can't do things that way. You see, there's a mind of the Lord in each way. And sometimes you can win a soul by putting your arms around them, smelling the stench of the putrid smell of their alcoholism, their cigarettes, and all their filth and foolishness, you know, and you put your arms around them and hug them. This individual I was trying to help, she was just so shook up. And man, she'd come in. I said, man, you got my house stenching, man. Just not smoking in my, just coming in with that old wretched smell coming into my home. You know, and I said, man, you got my house in a stench, you know, and you see, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. But what I'm saying is that in these situations, we got to learn to deal with people. But yes, we love them. Put up with the stench and put up with the thing to just try to love them and try to help them. You see, that's the thing to do. I didn't rebuke her for the smoking. She had too many other problems. You know, I can't say I didn't. I told her she needed to get away from it. I told her, I said, you know, if there wasn't anything to do with eternity or anything, God, you know, I said, just people that love you, you know, are concerned about you doing that. It shortens the number of your days. It's not good for you. It's an expensive, filthy, nasty habit. You know, and if there was no eternity and no God, why would we want to do something to just cause ourselves those kind of problems? But still speaking for a moment about soul winning, dealing with the mind of God, and finding the mind of the Lord. As you hear me speak this morning, it sounds like I'm talking, I could say for expression's sake, out of both sides of my mouth, because I'm talking at one time, you're praying when you don't need to, and there's other times that you need to pray and find the mind of the Lord when you think you have it. So you see, there's a balance of being led by the Spirit of God. And when a man is led by the Spirit, he's got a witness in his spirit. And this witness in his spirit is telling him that he's in the ways that are pleasing God. You see, brothers and sisters, I've shared so many things with you over the years or over the months, we might say, that there's times that you do something and you find the witness of the Spirit and it pleases God. You rejoice when you please God. You say, man, I'm thankful that this pleases God. But then you find yourself doing it again. A circumstance arises again that you could do the same thing, and you do the very same thing, and you do it as under the Lord and think it's pleasing God, and you find out that you're not pleasing God. I shared a story with you not long back. I gave my day and my time, my finances. I didn't charge no money. Help the widow woman. Put an engine in her car, man. Praise God, I'm the man. You know, true and undefiled religion, man. I done it, and I come to church that evening or over to the Father's house, and Brother Pike's house, when I walked in the door, where was you at today? We needed you. Oh, but I was taking care of true and undefiled religion. I didn't really say that, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, is there's a spirit in you. Say, man, I'm innocent. You know, hey, you can't rebuke me, man. You know, praise God, I'm lined up with the scriptures and the word of God. I was doing something for the widow today. Man, she works over there and she's there every day. You know, praise God. If there was any brother doing something for God today, it was me. You know, now, I didn't say those things, but there's a spirit in you that could be, you know, thinking like, man, I'm beyond reproof now. And he said, man, you've missed God altogether. And reproved me. See, that's out of the timing of the Lord. I could have done that, he said, another day. That sister wasn't in trouble. It was all kinds of sisters to give her a ride and take care of. And I know I've shared this with you, but you know, brothers and sisters, the Lord knows that there's so many times we have such an insurance that, man, we're the man and we've done please God and we're walking in the ways of God. But here's a preacher in my face. I got Bible for what I was doing. Man, how could I be wrong? I didn't charge no money. You know, but you see, there's a timing of the Lord. He said, you could have done that any time, but we had need. You held up several men because the job that you've committed to do was not done over here. And the other guys that came couldn't do their job because your job wasn't done first. You see, it's timing. And he's building a house over here. You know, there's going to be a time, you know, the sheetrockers show up to do the job. And if the plumbing and electrical's not done, then that job's not going to go. It can't go no farther until those things are done. And it's the same way. There's timing of the things of God. And sometimes we think, well, you know, hey, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. But there's a timing of a direct time that you need to do what God has asked you to do. Now, when we think of the timing of the Lord in our lives and of what we're doing, you see, this is where we'll come into the time of the Lord, into that spirit time, the spirit leading. You know, I've spoke to you about in God, there is no season. We're instant in season, out of season. And I'll explain that. I have so many times, but I feel the necessity to do so again. You see, in the natural, in man's world, there's seasons. And like right now, if you went outside and I had a fruit-bearing tree outside, and you came back in here and said, man, Brother Rob, you know, let's chop that tree down. man, that thing ain't no good. There's no fruit on it. I say, well, brother, you're out of season. Come back, you know, in the spring, and you'll see the blossoms and the blooms on the tree. You know, come back and you'll see this fruit. You see, that's because it's relative to this world, and man is seasonal. And when the Bible said to be instant in season, out of season, we say in season, out of season. In other words, you're to be in season. You're supposed to have fruit. Your tree is to have fruit on it out of season. Somebody say, well, look, Brother Rob, I don't feel well. Look, Brother Rob, you know, man, there's a lot of problems, man. My business is crashing in. Brother Rob, you know, I got this, my brother's coming against me. You know, Brother Rob, my wife's upset with me, man. Well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You know, or I'm sorry, I can't do something for the Lord today. Or I'm sorry, I got to be out on the job. I can't do something as on the Lord. I say, you are not in season, brother. You're that tree that'll be smote at the root, the axe laid to the root of that tree. Because the Bible commands us to be in season when it's out of season. You see, when we say out of season, what we're speaking about is it don't look like it would be time for fruit. All the perplexities of life or the complications of those things are coming down upon you, but you still have fruit on your tree. You understand that? And this is so oftentimes where people, they feel that they're justified because of the perplexities around about them, the storms of life, you know, the trials or tribulations, and then they feel like they're justified maybe not to have fruit, or justified maybe not to be going off the Lord. But that is the very time that we need to stand even the more and the most, that we have to gird ourselves up like men. You know, we have to see that we're established in the faith. And many times these things come to get a deeper root, a deeper tap root. Let's read some scripture here this morning. Again, we're going to 1 Corinthians over to the 10th chapter. I'm going to go to the first verse. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now, they're bringing them into a common thing here now. Think about this. What's being expressed here, they all were following the same cloud. They all came out of the same wilderness. They all were drinking from the same rock that the water was coming for. They was all partaking of the same manna. So it pretty much brings them all into common. The Bible says what? All men's hearts are fashioned alike. There's no respecter of person. God says he poured his spirit out upon the just and on the unjust. You see, brothers, in the time and the dispensation that we're in, everything becomes common. Everybody has the same opportunities. When these people go along through life and like, well, you know, I just didn't get a, you know, it's just not fair to me. You know, you raised up in a house and you had food and you had this, but I raised up over in this house and we had nothing. Man, I was poor and this and that. Those poor that received Jesus gladly. You need to turn that poor mouth and into, you know, rejoicing, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You know, I come to find you and I come to know you. You know, it's the rich and answereth haughtily. It's the rich and have no need of God. They're not in their homes saying, oh God, help me pay my light bill. Oh God, I need food. And you find those people that are having to seek after God for standard everyday provisions, have a relationship with him, and they see him moving and they have a love relationship and they see him making a way. You go into poverty countries that they don't have the welfare systems of America, or maybe even have the job markets that the American people have, and everything is suppressed in such a way that they're crying out for God and they seeing God move. Brothers and sisters, I don't care how wealthy or rich you are, you better start seeing God moving in everything around about you and seeing that it's the provisions and the blessings of God. If you have strength and you have health and there's air going in and out your nostrils, you need to be saying, thank you, Jesus, amen, because I know that you have control and over all things. And if I have strength, if I have health, I rejoice and I thank you and I praise you. Lord God, if I have a dollar in my pocket, I rejoice and thank you, Lord God, because I know that you could stop that any given day. Brothers and sisters, what is your idol in your life? What is the thing that you've put to make you what you think you are or make you strong? You see, brothers and sisters, there shouldn't be anything except Christ, amen, and let him utilize the things that are his. Everything we have, we need to give it back unto the Lord and say, I'll be a steward over this, Lord God. Let me be faithful over it. Let me look well to my going. Let my substance be precious in my sight and your sight, that I can do the things, Lord, or taking care of these things as utilize them for your work. If we have anything that we can't use for the work of the Lord, then we need to get rid of it. If I can't use my business for the things of God, I don't need business. If my business doesn't testify the Lord Jesus Christ, if my business doesn't testify the ministry of the Lord, if your business is something you're afraid to do something to help somebody because you're afraid it's going to hurt your business ain't worth having. Now, I know we got to look well to our going, and that doesn't mean we take a bunch of scoundrels out there and let them steal from our customers and rip them off and say we're doing it as unto the Lord. We need to use some wisdom, how we deal and how we help people. But if we are so clammed up in our business, business and it's running us instead of the Lord running it, then we've got a problem. Brothers and sisters, I speak like this because you're businessmen and you're business minded. And I try to speak like this to keep order in your life that you know how to do it. Sometimes it goes through many struggles because they start getting out of balance and they start letting things happening instead of yielding to the Lord and saying, God, did we pray? Sometimes we get so set in our business that we don't even think, or we think, well, this is the Lord's and we don't even consider him. If it is the Lord's, consider him in all things and all ways. You know, we need to consider God in everything and what we do and how we do it, where we do it, why we do it, when we do it. Amen. And then when we find ourselves not being led exactly by the Spirit of God in the endeavors that we're doing, sometimes we find these perplexities that come along that shake us a little bit. And then sometimes in that shaking is when we look up to heaven and say, God. And see, God's having his way in it. Sometimes it's good to see a man, a little world getting shook a little bit. Foundations getting shook a little bit for they could remember to cry out to God. For they could remember, wait a minute, God. It was going so well and so smooth that I didn't rejoice and I didn't thank you. Give him glory and praise for all things. You know what happens with people that are employed and they've got a check coming in every week. You know, and it's like, well, you know, hey, I'm doing my thing. I go put my 40 in and I get a check. And they get into a routine of life like that. But you know, they should never get that. They should look up and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because you know, there's corporations that go down on a daily basis. Where are you going to put your strength in? The corporation that wrote you the check? There's corporations failing daily. Big business is going down daily. And if you got all that work done, you say, well, man, it's strong. I know something. The Bible said he brings a nation down in one day. You know, I'm blessed. You know, I live in America. You know, praise God, I live in America. I remember when, you know, a half a dozen men got control of 3 airplanes and crashed them thing. America was shut down. You say, it kept on going. America was shut down. I don't care what you say. I mean, everything stopped. And to the perspective, people didn't know what to do. People couldn't think when they was on their jobs. Many of you's out there trying to work and do things, man, you start hear about that and you say, hey man, I've got to go find a television set, see what's going on here. You know, you just couldn't get your mind thinking about what's going on. Hey man, our country's at war. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. And there was 3,000, I believe, lost in that time. But what happens when some real devastation hits this country? That God's going to wake it up. People are not going to be, when it really comes down to it, they're not going to be able to function. Who's going to be calling on a tile contractor? Who's going to call on the tile contractor to come over, man, and redo their bathroom? Who's going to be wanting to build a new house when they hear tanks running across our soil and our lands? You see, we need to have a relationship with God. We need not to get ourselves and let God lift us up to draw men unto him, but God lift us up in such a point that we're not lifting him up and we're not remembering him. He will allow calamity. And if you mock him and lightly esteem the things of God, then he will bring it to you and he'll laugh in your face at your calamity, is what the Bible says. And see, people don't know God that way. But let's read some more scripture here and go on. We find it here in the scriptures that these people have become common. It says, and we're all baptized, verse 2, unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now see, he rendered a bell here and he went into some allegoric speaking now. He was speaking about what took place over there. You can go read over in Numbers and find out exactly some of these things that was happening and going on. And you can find, or in Exodus, but in Numbers, it's speaking about some of the perplexities that the people were doing when they murmured and complained and the things that God did bring upon them. Paul rending a dimensional barrier here showing what this is allegoric to. But it says, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonishing, upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, brothers and sisters, an overconfidence. You know, we need to have a confidence in Christ. And when we have a confidence and have our faith set in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're established and we will stand. But when we have walked with the Lord and we get an overconfidence into the perspective That means that we don't have our eyes on the adversary, the enemy. And let me tell you, he's shrewd and he'll move in. About the time that you think so highly of yourself, about the time you think that you know something when you know nothing whatsoever, about the time you think everything's going just fine for you and you're just praising God, hallelujah. Man, God's blessings are so real. God's blessings are so rich. Brothers and sisters, there's one thing you need to remember, that we're in a continual warfare. You got to remember, brothers and sisters, that there is an adversary, the devil, seeking who he can devour. And you know, when you get into the things, the Bible said a haughty spirit comes before the fall. And when you separate yourself from God and the mind of God and watch that particular scripture, you'll see it happen in business. You'll see it happen. It don't matter what it is. When I was in the aviation business with my father, when you'd see these pilots coming around with an attitude, bless God, I could fly the crate that this airplane was shipped over here in. Bless God, I'm the pilot of all pilots. And they walk with that new walk every time they come around, like, whoa, get out of my way, man, I'm here. And if you don't believe that's a problem in aviation, you're going to find some of the most egotistical and most arrogant men alive when you get in the realms of aviation. Well, you know, and I remember being a young man watching these guys, and they'd come around. And I remember even going to my father about a couple hot rods we had over in the state of Texas flying some of our airplanes. I said, man, these guys are going to tear up some. You'd see pictures of them instead of flying the wingman like they were supposed to, doing low-level work, flying down low, hot rodding. They tore up an airplane. It was by the grace of God I could say that they weren't killed, but they tore up a nice airplane, hot rodding around. Boy, but they were the man. If anybody could fly this airplane, you know, just get out of my way. You see, it's a haughty spirit that comes before a fall. It doesn't matter. You know, when you see an individual like that, you know, they used to say when out in motorcycle racing around like that, boy, you know, you get haughty and quit losing respect for that thing, it's going to eat your lunch. You know, you have to respect things. But when you get so haughty and so lifted up, man, hey, don't tell me. When you get so haughty in the things of God and you're so spiritual that you sit in the church and you say, the preacher's talking to somebody else, he ain't talking to me. Oh yeah, I could tell the preacher some things. Well, if that preacher had half the understanding that I've got, you see, it's not the preacher talking to you, it's the Lord speaking. And when you do that unto me, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You say, no, God, you know, I'm so spiritual, I don't need some preacher talking to me. You know what? Let me tell you something. You might have a good relationship with God and he may be speaking to you, but when do you quit listening, even if the preacher is a baby, when he can perfect praise through the mouth of babes and sucklings? When do we come to a place that we think that we're so spiritual that we're going to close our ears when we sit in God's house? And there's people that do that. They are so conceited and so puffed up in themselves that they don't take heed to God or the things of God or listen. Brothers and sisters, I have been reproved by God through little babies that never even got their bearings. I had a man walk through the door of the church when we was over on Fairfield, and he was just lightly talking. Wasn't even talking to me, and I'm up in front of the church and it come to me like a sword. And I mean, it pierced my heart and I knew that I'd just been rebuked of the Lord. I've been rebuked, brothers and sisters, by people that didn't even know God. And it was that still small voice of God saying, hey, brother, where do we come to such a point that we think that we're not supposed to be in tune and be listening? God is speaking, brothers and sisters, to us on a daily basis. If this spiritual manna was given to them, brothers and sisters, it was a daily thing. You know, and they started murmuring and complaining, well, I'm tired of this. Man, you know, here it comes. You know, we've beaten this stuff into cakes. We've done this with it. We've done this with it. I'm tired of it. I want some flesh. See, this is what some of you are in your spiritual walk. You'll do good for a little while. You know, praise God, I've got that old flesh man under subjection. You know, I've got him buried down like this now, and I've done pretty good. But you know what, man? You know, I need a little flesh. You know, I got to let this flesh out just a little bit. And you'll be just like what they did. You'll find that that earth opens up. You think, well, what does that have to do with when that earth opens up and swallows you away? It has to do with that cares of this earth, earthly life, the needs of this earth. Well, this earthly man has needs, not when he's dead. It means he's still alive when you keep his needs alive. Well, you know, Brother Rob, I know that you eat, and that earthly man has an appetite and a thing, but we do it as unto the Lord. You see, you could eat as unto the Lord, or you could eat as unto the flesh. You see, there is a difference, brothers and sisters. If you're going to give your life as a living sacrifice, then you know that there is needs of this fleshly tabernacle, and if you don't sustain it to food and to eat, that it will perish, and it can't be used of the Lord. Let me give you an example of that very thing that I just said, and there's a fine balance there. A woman called me up a few years back, and she was offering reproof to me. And she was reproving me because I drove a car. This was around the time the towers came down. So I don't know how many years ago that was. But she's offering reproof to me because I drove a car and because I went to the gas pumps and put gas in my car. She says, look, I read a report and that so many percentage of the money that we spend at the gas pumps is going to support terrorism. You know, and the Lord has dealt with me to not drive, to do away with my car and not to drive because I'm not going to support terrorism. You know, what do you say to that? What do you do when the Amish man comes to you and says, hey, brother, you know, God's dealt with me, man. He said, you know, I'm supposed to come out of the world. I can't be part of this world. You know, I don't have a car, but you want to go fishing? He'll get you in his bass boat. Boy, it's got a big old gas engine on that thing, man. I saw one going down 300 horsepower gas. And I said, well, that's funny. He can push himself across the lake with modern technology, but he can't drive down the road. That's straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. But you know, hey, that's their conviction. Why should I find fault with them? I'm just telling you the way I judge things. I'm not going to find fault. If that's his conviction to put it away, praise God. At least he's making some kind of sacrifice. But back to the story about this. I'm finding myself trying to be reproved by some kind of mind here that thinks that this little gal thought she was so spiritual. Bless God, I heard from the heavens and God spoke to me and told me not to drive. I can't support terrorism. But I told her, I said, well, sister, I said, let me tell you something. If I did that, I said, Satan would be winning a great victory. A great victory. Because I said, the little bit of finances of me buying the little bit of fuel that I buy, I don't think it's going to make no great big deal in terrorism. But I know one thing that it will make a great big deal in. It's going to quench the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from going forth. I use my automobiles and I use the fuels to get forth and to preach the gospel. I could say that the televisions are so corruption and the religious broadcasting is so corrupted and this and that, say that, well, I'm not going to go out there on it. But still, we're a still small voice crying out in a wilderness. We still got to go out there. We still got to make an effort to get the word of God or to preach the gospel or do whatever. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, I know for a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ would utilize the airways. He would utilize automobiles and transportations and aircraft if he was in this world as a present state, which he is. And that's what he's doing through you and I. There's always a balance. There's always a balance. You could hear what I'm saying this morning and you could justify being partakers of the world or doing things, worldly things, and say, oh, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. You see, but this is where the difference is. It's being spirit-led. Well, the sister told you she was spirit-led. Well, if she was spirit-led, then why is she buying fuel today? Why is she back driving today? And the thing is when the reports came, then how come it was the same dealing with different spirits? It was weeks before that she comes to church with a head covering on. Well, the Lord dealt with me, you know, we got to have a head covering. Well, I know what the head covering is, know what it has to do with. Can I explain it to you? Oh, no, but this is it. What's wrong with all the sisters at Christian Tim? Why don't they have scarves on? You see, and then prior to that, it was something else. And prior to that, it's something else. And you see, these people are on these journeys and they want to kick against the pricks, we could say. And it's always continually the same thing all the time. And we have to find the mind of God in these situations and find out why those things are there. It's funny how people haven't given their real life to the Lord or their mind over to his mind and his spirit, but then they sit and let their mind go so wild of what you're supposed to do, what the preacher's supposed to do, what he's supposed to preach, how he's supposed to preach, what the brethren should do, what the churches should be doing, when they haven't even got their own bearings. We find here in the stories that we're reading, we're going to pick up and read a little farther, but we find here that these people were murmuring and complaining. Now you see, the Lord had given them a manna that sustained life. You see, the thing is that is not what God had in store for them. God had in store for them to cross the Jordan, to go into Canaan land, where there was a land of plenty that they could have the other provisions of life. This was his plan for them to go through the wilderness, brothers and sisters, into Canaan. That was his desire, and that was his plan for them. And he was going to sustain life for them while they were in the wilderness. And let me tell you something. When that rock was smitten, no one had to do with Christ, and brought life-giving force of water to them, or they would have perished out there in a matter of days in that wilderness. They would have perished. But life came forth out of that rock. The manna came down, a supernatural thing of manna come down. Science is still trying to figure it out. Trying to say, you know, well, it was this or it was that. But it was a supernatural thing, brothers and sisters. Because the thing is if you gathered up too much on 6 days of the week, it would go wormy by morning. But on that sixth day, you could gather up enough for 2 days. And why would it just be so, if it was a natural thing, why would it be on that one day that it wouldn't go wormy, that they'd have the provisions for the next? You see, science has the ways to talk about the Red Sea split. They said, oh yeah, you know, we figured it out. There's a shelf going out there and you go out in the depth of the water so deep and then it drops down real deep and the wind blew real hard and that wind blew the water back and separated right there and they went across. That wind wind was blowing hard when they went across on dry ground. It takes a little while to dry that ground out. And even if that was the case, that God did use a mighty wind blowing across there, he knew when to turn it on, he knew when to shut it off, because the others that pursued him didn't make it. And if the water was only so deep, like they say that it was deep enough to drown the horse and the riders of the armies that were pursuing. You know, so you know, hey, I don't care how you look at it, how you want to judge it, how you want to say it, we're serving a supernatural God, and he's on time every time. Amen. Okay, so now we're looking, then we start looking at these things, and as we read here, the Bible said these are four examples. These are examples to you, and these are examples to me. So we find these people that have these provisions, and they murmur and complain, I want flesh. They got flesh. You can go over and read it. They got flesh. He said, we're not just going to give you flesh today. We're not just going to give you flesh tomorrow. He says, we're not going to just give you flesh this week. He says, you're going to have flesh, and you're going to have it for months, and it is going to go until it's coming out of your nostrils. And he did. The quail blew in. I don't remember how many feet it was recorded. And then they started dying, and the stench of it, and they started piling them up, and it was a stench in their nostrils. And they started murmuring and complaining more. You know, brothers and sisters, God could turn you over to a reprobate mind, and he could just fill you with the things of this world until you think that you've got so much, but he'll come to a place, I said, I can't handle this no more. I am so sick of this and sick of this world. You know, the woman that's a harlot that can't get enough men, she'll find herself strapped to a bed through all of eternity, and every unclean demon spirit, as she's chained to that bed, will come have their way, and they're going to think, oh God, I'm so sick of this. I gave my life to that in the world, and I manipulated men, and you know, went into households and broke up homes. I done all those things, but I find himself chained to a bed through all of eternity for every demon spirit. You see, it won't have the thrust and the thrill of it through eternity of damnation. You know, people think, well, you know, that might be something. No, it won't be something. It'll be the most miserable, tormenting, most detrimental, you can't even put words of expression to it. There's greater damnation for others. People think that, well, you know, it's just going to be cast into the flames of hell and just in torment. It says they'll be chewing on you. There's going to be preachers in hell that have the people of their congregation chewing on them because they did not preach the word of God to them. Amen. All right, well, let's look here, and we find that this meat, that they've got it because they murmured and complained. Now let's compare that to your life. Here you are, and you're in a wilderness. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, think, well, I'm not in no wilderness, brother. Let me tell you something. As long as you're dwelling in a fleshly tabernacle, there is a time prepared for that woman. And there was a place prepared there. That has to do with the wilderness. The child, as soon as was born, was caught away. Yes, I could speak to you as unto spiritual. Know that as soon as that Christ child was birthed and born, it was caught away, hid in with Christ, sealed in. There's nothing that could touch that. And I understand that, and I teach that. But I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters. The woman, the one that conceived and brought forth that child in the bride dimension, there is a place prepared, and that's in a dispensation of grace. In that dispensation of grace, there is a separation that woman makes from the world. She had to make the separation to bring forth the child, yes. But then there's still a motherly perspective of girding up and yielding forth that child. Now, when we rend in these dimensional barriers, we need to understand this and know how to think and consider. Now, the thing is when we find this place for this woman, there is a sacrifice that she's making. And when you're going through this world and you don't want to make the sacrifices of this world, then you will not make the world to come. Now, we got to know when we were doing some teaching here not too many days back, we were talking about the Antichrist, which was, which is, and is to come. When we talk about Christ, we talk about Him. And we teach and bring you into the revelation of the Lord and bring Him present. But then yet there is a God that was, a God that is, and a God that is to come. We have to differentiate and understand these dimensional projections of God. I serve God today. He is the I Am. I fellowship Him in the Spirit. I speak with Him, sup with Him, and He is now. But you see, the religious world of America, they don't have a now God. They'll talk if you pinned them down, they'd say, oh yeah, but He's always, when you hear Him talk, the Bible said, out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth will speak. Oh no, I believe that God's alive now. Oh, I believe that God hears my prayers now. But when you hear Him talk, oh, He's coming for us someday. Oh, He's going to do this and He's going to do that. You see, they don't know God in the present. They don't know God now. They don't know Him as the I Am. That means they're not in the Spirit. They're not fellowshipping in the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit. So when we look and try to understand in our own life, we find that in the bride perspective, we find the wilderness. There was a place prepared. She flew off into a wilderness, a place prepared for the woman. And that's a place for a season. The child's sealed in. Now see, the devil can't touch that spirit, that Christ. It's sealed in. But when we come back to looking what's taking place in the wilderness, the Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. And we have to take and look in this wilderness realm of what's taking place. Are you murmuring and complaining? Oh, but God, I want more flesh. God, I want the things of this world. I like the vain jingles of this world. Don't sacrifice it. Don't murmur and complain. Be content with what God allows you to have now that you could keep your course and know that you're just an ambassador. You're not of this world, that you're just passing through. If you're not making the sacrifices of the fleshly things now, you'll make the one eternal sacrifice of your flesh as it's being cast into eternal damnation. That's when you'll make sacrifice. You're either going to make it now or you're going to make it then. Are you strong enough now? Have you girded up your strength in that wilderness as you are passing through it? Have you taken and eaten of that spiritual manna that you could take and sacrifice that fleshly appetite, that fleshly man and his fleshly desires and fleshly lust? They lusted after the flesh. They lusted after things. And God said, here it is. God will pour it out. He'll send the women to you. He'll send the men to you. He'll send the wealth to you. He'll send the finance and it'll flood you out and you'll be so overtaken with the things of this world. It's going to open up and it's going to swallow you away and you'll be rejoicing and praising God in it the whole time. And all it is a curse to you. The Bible said the riches of the wealth will testify against them. I'll tell you something to consider. Brothers and sisters, I don't care who's in this church. You know, you're talking to him because of wealth. Every single one of you in here are blessed and very wealthy. Well, I don't feel like it, Brother Rob. Well, you are. Why don't you just go with me into the foreign fields a little bit and you'll know how blessed and rich that you truly are. When you go over to a home and a little child was born in a box, you go over to another place, they don't even have a box. You're blessed. You know, these people in America that are crying about poverty and poor, they don't know what poverty and poor is. I'm telling you, they don't know. Man, there's programs and churches. I mean, you know, up here in Virginia, you know, they say, oh man, it's tough up here, man. It's really poor up here. So they don't know what tough is and poor is. Well, maybe Brother Rob, if you went up there and maybe wasn't eating or maybe this, that, you tell me somebody that ain't eating, we'll take them food. There's churches on every corner that's got food programs and giving food and giving benevolence and all over the place. I don't know of anybody starving. How many of you read the papers up in Virginia that somebody perished and died from starvation? How many times have you been up there and seen the little baby's bellies popped out and their eyeballs sunk back in their head? Like you see when you go over and look at the reports in Africa and India. How many times have you seen that? You know, you trained up your world and your children in a different mind. You got a little kid that you fed a big breakfast to and you're driving down the road trying to get somewhere and it comes about 11:45. Dad, I'm starving to death. They don't know what starving to death is. How many of you have gone out and worked today and you got so busy on your job you skipped lunch and you think you're going to perish if you don't get to dinner by a certain time? You say, Brother Rob, we was talking about the Lord. I say, yay and amen. But sometimes we just talk about that flesh a little bit too. Let you know that there is an old fleshly man still out there that's got a fleshly appetite and we got to deal with him. Brothers and sisters, we need to consider. The Bible says these things were put here as an example. They're put here as an example. And you say, well, you know, I don't have that problem. I don't deal with those things. And all I got to say to you is one thing. You're a liar and your father's the devil. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I speak like these things with such a confidence because I deal with these things. Just because God called me to preach the gospel doesn't mean that I'm separated from those things. All men's hearts, all preachers' hearts, all Christians' hearts, all lay people's hearts, all deacons, all elders, it don't matter, are all fashioned alike, and these are things that are common unto men, and these are things that were put there for our example that we could abstain from worldly appetite and worldly lust and worldly pleasures. You see, brothers and sisters, there are things that we must do to sustain life. There are things, brothers and sisters. The Bible said that if you cannot provide for your own household, you're worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. So, and we could hear a message like this morning say, well, you know, I guess if I'm going to please God, I got to live in a pup tent. I got to have nothing, you know, and I just got to make this big sacrifice. Well, brothers and sisters, you might. And that might be true. You might have to do that. Maybe some have made that sacrifice and God restored. Do you realize that some took their inheritance in the wilderness instead of crossing over the Jordan? There's people that find that they're content with the provisions and the things of God. And that's where you're going to have to come to a place and say, you know what, Lord, I know this is what you have me and this is what you've provided unto me. And you rejoice in the Lord and he'll add an increase. You see, he wanted them to have the meats and the things. Do you remember even the some that they went out for the reports and crossed over Canaan and he came back with murmuring, complaining with bad reports. If you go and read the story, you'll find out that they came back and they didn't live. They didn't survive. The serpents got them because of their murmuring and complaining. How many of you murmur and complain against God? As an individual that come to my home, the house of plenty, opened up my home and said, here you go. Everything I have is yours. I didn't say, you know, you can't do this. You can't, whatever I have is yours. And come and still murmur and complain against God. Somebody that had been out in the streets, had no place to even lay their head, and been so wretched and so defiled and so things like that, and then come into the house of God and complain. I don't like the sheets on my bed. You know, I don't like this, and I need a certain kind of cream rinse, and I need this, and start putting demand. I'm thinking, boy, what kind of gratitude do you have? You see, and this is the way some of you are in God. You need to be content with the provisions and the thing that God has given you because He's given you a gracious plenty. And sometimes we get worldly appetites and worldly lust and we get into a mindset that there's not enough. I've witnessed these things in my own life. I've witnessed these things in others' life. I observe life. I observe the way people do. If a man is laden with lust, there's never enough women. He'll get a woman and think, well, this one's okay, but then pretty soon she's an old hand, wants another woman and another woman. That's a demon spirit of lust. A woman the same way wants another man and another man and another man. It's a demon spirit. And then if it's the thing, it could be automobiles. Got to have another and another and another. It could be a demon spirit. It could be houses, homes. It could be, it don't matter. There's never enough. Many times it's with finances. I remember my brother as he weep before the Lord. He came to me, I guess you'd have to say considered to be a millionaire. Having a home worth a couple $1 million. And things, and he come up and he said, man, and he was unhappy. Man, my wife ends up being a harlot. You know, I can't go outside the door. I can't do this. She's off with other men. And he was so unhappy. And I said, you know what? Look back. When you bought the $30,000 house, you was looking for the $1 million home. When you bought the first brand new car, you know, in the 70s, it cost maybe $8,000-$9,000, and you bought the first new car, you was looking for the $250,000 car that you got now. When you got this first little gal, you know, you was looking for this thing of, you know, man, of all the women. And when you got the airplanes and the cars, man, it got the whores flocking at you. What a curse. Brother Pike said it's a curse for a man to be good looking. He said it's a curse from God. And you think, oh man, how could that be? He said, why would it be a curse? Why would it be a curse for a man to be good looking? You know, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if these things of these worldly appetites, it could be a curse to be wealthy. It could be a blessing of God. You see, and the thing is we've got to see a woman, a fine looking woman. The Bible said the things that God hates the most is a woman with the mincing of her feet. They sell everything in this world by harlotry. They strip women off. You see, brothers and sisters, if we would look into the mind of things and find the mind of God, we have to judge these things in the mind of the Lord. And we got to find the direction in the Spirit of God and keep an order. And if we think, brothers and sisters, there's saints that someone would say, I'm blessed, and another one could look at it as a curse. Something to one could be a curse and to another could be a blessing. If I have wealth and finances and homes, and God said it is the very thing that testifies against me on the day of judgment, and it's a curse. And to another one, God adds an increase to show that God is a just God, He is a provider, and that His word of God is true, and that when you have been diligent before the Lord of sowing into the things of God and the kingdom of God, swearing to your own herd and doing good to them others and helping and giving to the poor and the needy, and He's blessing you, then it's not a curse to you to have things. And there's many times that we think too highly of ourselves, and we've got the things by strong arm, by crooked business dealings, not doing it by the things of God, then it's a curse to you. When you sacrifice the house of God to gain things, they're a curse to you. When you run to your own household and leave the house the Lord lay waste, when you continually miss church and miss church because you have a business, it's become a curse to you instead of a blessing. When does that start setting order and setting time? You let it run your life instead of you giving it to the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, I know the ways of God and the mind of God and the things of God, and I have to say these things that you could keep a balance in your life. He said He put these things here for an example, and the very thing that God given you could be a curse. Even the manna in the wilderness, He gave them enough to sustain life, but when they got greedy and they tried to take it up, it become wormy. And that's when your substance becomes wormy. You see, I could take it to the Word of God and you could say, man, you know, I'm going to quote this Bible. And you start reading the Word and you start intellectually applying and you quote in the Bible and you say, man, it says this and it says that. And you go around and you're telling people, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that and the Bible says that. And it's wormy manna. It's not even the Spirit of the Word. Amen. You're reading something that was instead of is. It's not even the Spirit of the Word. Amen. You're reading something that was instead of is. And we got to take this word and bring it into an application of a truth and a present truth. Brothers and sisters, if the things are written here within as examples. We have to take them and apply them in the spirit and find out the things, and knowing that all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And so oftentimes, dealing with people, personalities, dealing with spirits, I find that it's a common problem in humanity. As I dealt with a man the other day and I shared some of the dealings that I had with him, but he's very skilled in the word of God to apply it to your life. He takes this word and he applies it to your life and tells you the way you are supposed to be as a Christian and how you're supposed to help one another as long as it's helping him and how that we're supposed to do and sacrifice and all this. But I've observed this in his life for many years and I've never saw it coming forth from him. He tells me how I'm supposed to live, how you brethren are supposed to do, and the charitable acts that you're supposed to do, and the things that you should be doing, and he's even testified about the works that he's seen in your life, but he's never been partakers of it, or never showed that side in his life. Now, I use this man as an example, because many times that is we as individuals. You will hear the minister speak and you say, you know, Brother Rob's really nailing such and such, or Brother Rob's really doing this, or boy, that brother really needs to hear this. But Brother Rob's the one that needs to hear this. You see, and you as an individual, male, female, whatever, you as an individual, you need to hear the word of exhortation from the Spirit of God. Because in the things of God, we're continually growing. Brothers and sisters, we're in a continual pressing our way into the kingdom of God, a continual pressing, a continual perfecting, a continually bringing the works of Christ into perfection. If I took you over to Hebrews 11 chapter, which is talking about examples also, we find that all of the examples that God has given has been much persecution and much tribulation to bring forth these examples. Everything and everywhere that God moved, there was a tribulation that come forth. And this is what molds you and makes you. When you go through the fire, it purifies you and strengthens you. Gets the weakness. See, dross weakens and makes things impure. And the thing is you got to get those things out of your life, and God purges you with the fire of the Holy Ghost. He purges you and cleanses you by fire. And the thing is when you find the heat and you find the fire and you don't subject yourself to it, then you're going to have impurities in your life. And you have to submit yourself to that. You have to willingly give yourself to that. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, God, if this cup could pass, so be it, but let your will be done. It was God's will for him to be crucified outside the camp. It was God's will for that. Now, brothers and sisters, the will of God is for you to be crucified in this present day truth, in this present day hour, for the soul winning and salvation of others. But you know, Lord, I just want to walk in the charitable side and the easy side of life. I just want to go there. You won't ever be utilized for God. There's going to be persecutions in your life. You read in the scriptures, there's too much exhortation to you as an individual for tribulation and persecution. You know, the Bible said that a wise man, you know, he built his house upon the rock. Why did he build his house upon the rock? Because storms are going to come. You see, brothers and sisters, you don't have control of the storms that come, but you do have control of one thing, is you could build a strength. You see, if you are a tree of life, and you don't have a taproot and the storms come, your tree is going to be blown over. And you're going to be moved by the things of this world, the storms of life. They're going to take and they're going to blow you over. If you are going to set sail and do something that's unto the Lord, you're going to have to know that you're going to have to deal with storms. You're going to have to take and make sure your boat's in ship-shaped condition. And you're going to have to spend some time getting in condition. I remember reading a story about a college kid, using it as an allegory. The college kid was talking about one of their friends. I'm not even sure if I could get the story. The Lord brings the story to a pack. But this one was talking about their friends just going on through college and partying and having a good time and just, you know, being at all the college party. And this one, all they could do was study. But you see, when the end of the matter came out, somebody didn't make it. When we think of the wilderness realm or the transformation realm, you see, we could look at it as a journey and a course, and some of us won't make it through this journey. Oh man, but praise God, I found the anointing of God. Man, I found this place. I was hungry and I found the manna raining down of God and I ate of it. They all ate of the same thing. Man, I was thirsty and I drank of this. Man, praise God. They all drank of the same thing. But the earth opened up and swallowed some up. And you see, the thing is, brothers and sisters, I know that you know who God is. I know that you know the blessings of God. I know that you're walking out here and you feel the rain of God, the blessings of God. You get the goosebumps. You've seen him heal you. You've seen him touch you. You've seen him speak to your heart. But brothers and sisters, the Bible said it's ye that endure to the end that are saved. And sometimes we get overconfident. Man, I know the word. There ain't no devil. Hell can't touch me. Man, I've been hid away in Christ. I've been sealed in. Bless God, I've been caught away into these heavenly places, this and that. Have you made that sure? Have you made that calling and election sure? You know how you know when the storms of life come and you find it blowing down against you? And that old tree may bend. And it may bend way over. And it may bend way over, but it's got a taproot. It ain't moved. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, and if you're established and planted on that rock, your foundation is Jesus Christ, and you're not moved. But when these things come and you murmur and complain, oh, it's not fair, it's not right, or it's not this, that, it means that you are not established on the rock, Christ Jesus. You see, we got to be established. We got to be unmovable. And when we find ourselves murmuring and complaining against God, then we're not where we need to be. Let me tell you, I've heard people murmur and complain against God. I had an individual come into one of our services in our church that felt that we're a minister. They come to sing a song, and they got up and started praying, and it cut my spirit. I mean, it cut my spirit so bad that I was nauseous. Dell was on the soundboard, and I was so grieved with Dell. I was so vexed, and it sounds like I'm shooting Dell, but see, Dell wasn't where I was at. I was listening to it by the mind of the Lord. And this individual was saying, oh God, you've done for others, why not me? Murmuring and complaining. Oh God, you healed such and such sister, such and such, but you haven't healed me. Murmuring and complaining. Never find the things of God that way. Oh God, you provided for this one, but what about me? Oh God, you done this, what about me? That is a murmuring and complaining devil. And we was outside and the speakers were out there and this is broadcast. I'm saying, oh God, it grieved my heart so bad that this kind of thing would be amplified from Christian Temple Church and somebody sitting and murmuring and complaining against my God, my Savior, my salvation, that is a provider and He gives us everything that pertains unto life. And people walk below their means. And so oftentimes you think that you don't do that, but you'll find yourself in prayer, oh God, and you're going to poor mouth and you're going to do that. It worked with your natural daddies. Oh, but Johnny's got this and such and such has got this and I want that. And natural daddy's been to that, but our God doesn't bend to that. You don't murmur and complain. He's given you everything that pertained unto life. His hand is not short. And many times you were blown off the foundation. He told you the storms are going to come. Gird yourself up like a man. He said that you're going to be into a warfare. He gave you the full armor of God. We need to take, and we know that the adversary is going to come. And we need to learn, brothers and sisters, be prepared for battle all the time. All you want is going R&R. You know, some of our military soldiers find themselves in foreign fields. And they'll find themselves over in a little R&R, where they take them off the battleground, they put them in a little R&R. You know, they go over and they get doped up, tanked up, drunked up, or whatever. You know, they run with the local women over in the other country, stuff, and they think, and some of them, that's all they want, but they get out on the battlefield and they die and they perish. The Bible said, keep yourself unspotted from the affairs of this world. You are commanded to keep yourself out of the affairs of the world. A good soldier's not entangled of the affairs of this world. And when you continually in the affairs of the world and in the world, it's because you're of the world. It's going to open up, it's going to consume you and swallow you away. You say, but Brother Rob, we have to work. Brother Rob, you know, we have to be out here in the jobs. You know, we have to be out there. What do you want us to do? Lock ourselves in a closet? Well, let me tell you something. I could preach another sermon that if you're not out there working and laboring, that you don't have the gift like the Bible says, then you've missed God and you're worse than an infidel. You say, well, I don't understand. What's the balance? Brothers and sisters, you could labor in this world and not be of this world. If I went to Iraq as an ambassador of the United States of America, I'm not going to say I'm an Iraqian. I'm an American. I'm over here about the business of my country. I'm over here for the welfare of the people of America. I'm an ambassador. Hey, if you got needs here, let me help you. And I'll deal with that government. And brothers and sisters, that's what you are according to the Bible. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're not of this world. You are from heaven. You are from the kingdom of God. You're just passing through. You're an ambassador. You're not about the affairs of this world. You're about the affairs of heaven. Amen? And you're helping the people along. The saints of God, you're looking for them to glean them out and say, hey, there's a way home. That's what we're doing. We're gleaning the fields. But don't get entangled. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes people are saying, well, God, I want blessings. God, I want this. And He's afraid to give them to me because you look at the blessings instead of the giver of the blessing. Sometimes you know, say, but God, I need this. God, I want this. God, I want to have that. And that'd be the very thing to pull you away from God. It becomes an idol to you. It becomes something that you put before you and God. What do you have between you and God? When does your business, when does your family? Some of your families are cursed with plagues and diseases and things because you put your family before you put God. Mothers, when you got a little baby and you put that baby before God, you'll find that you're going to be the one to bring perplexities and complications to that child. There's nothing that you put between you and God. Take that child and put it on the altar. Say, God, here it is. You've blessed my womb. You've given this to me, and I'm giving it back unto you, Lord God. And let me be a steward and raise this child in the way that it should go, that it could glorify and magnify you, oh God. You see, then God's hands on it and God's protective powers on it. You see, this is where we've got to come in God. It doesn't matter what it is. You see, brothers and sisters, God raised up kings and they got so mighty and so powerful and raised up thousands of chariots and thousands of men and foot soldiers, and they got so mighty and God would send the prophets to them and they wouldn't take heed to what the prophet of God said, and God would bring them down. God may raise you up, and he might raise you up in finance. He might raise you up in provisions. He might raise you up that you could help others in the poor and the starving countries and helping and doing good. And he raised you up, and then you turn and get so mighty and so powerful that you curse against God. You say, I would never do that. People curse God on a daily basis. When you mock his word and lightly esteem his word and his chastening, and you lightly esteem what the preachers say, oh, it's his convictions, it's his ways, it's the way he thinks, but bless God, I've got this special place in God. That's a scary place. It's like them airplane pilots. They go tear some up and it's a wonder they didn't lose their own life. And when God rends you into pieces and slams you on the ground and drags you through the ground like a mama bear, she bear, robbed of its cub, then you think. And hopefully his wrath will back off. You know, when the wrath comes onto this world, it said that if he didn't hold it back, there wouldn't have been any come through. Not none whatsoever at all. Brothers and sisters, we need to find the mind of God. We need to know God. You know, and you say, well, you know, Brother Rob, why do you say these things? You're trying to scare us? You're trying to put fear into the world? Well, fear is the beginning of wisdom. We need to walk in a reverent fear of a living God. We need to know that this great, awesome God that we've made him to just to be. Let me say this, and pardon my expression, okay, before I even say it. But some of you have got a limp-wristed, sissified, gay, I'll use your little term, gay God. And I don't believe in gay when it comes to applying to homosexual. But that's your Jesus. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's your Jesus. You just got some guy that, you know, you're just spitting in his face every time you walk by. You spit in his face. You see his blood running on the floor and you go over and twist and look at him and say, you know, you've got to do this. You've got to love me. And you know, I'm wretched. I know I'm wretched, but you have to love me. And you're mocking him. And that's what you do. And he's just going to stand there. He came, brothers and sisters, to be smote and to be spit upon. He came that you could drive the nails in his hands. But that's called a present day crucifixion when you're doing that today. And you'll get by with it. Because you're in the grace of God. And you just lightly esteem him. You lightly esteem his word. And you're just like, ah, you know, hey, your love. You know, oh, your mercy. Pooh. And you spit in his face. Isn't that grievous to your spirit? But that's what you do. This is what I observe in some of your lives, that I watch you. And you think that he's just going to keep letting you spit. But one day, as you keep plucking his beard when you walk by and trampling his blood as you go by, one day you're going to see him in another form. And he's not going to be spit upon no more. He's not going to be mocked no more. And he's going to have an iron fist. And his sword will not be held back from blood. And you'll find that the wrath, brothers and sisters, and let me tell you something. You say, are you speaking future, Brother Rob? I'm talking present tense. There's going to be some that they'll have to be chastened on this side. They have to be. If the wrath of God doesn't come on them on this side, they won't have a chance of making it in. If they don't see the wrath of God on this side, and I'm talking about rending them into pieces on this side, they will not make it into the kingdom of God. The Bible said some men sin go before, some go after. And when they're doing what I'm speaking about, spitting in his face, lightly esteeming his word, mocking him, and going on, they have to pay on this side. How do they pay, Brother Rob? What is the price they got to pay? I'm not the one that sets that. You know, sometimes you watch things out here in the court system, you'll find a guy. My niece was sitting here talking. She said, you know, man, I can't remember even what she'd done, but they'd given her 5 years. And she says, you know, I'm watching this thing and there's a guy that killed somebody and he gets 4 years. She said, I don't see no justice in it. You see, that's murmuring and complaining against the system. But you know, God, I seen this one here and you showed mercy and you granted them life and they seem to be going on. But this other one, there'd be men that walk into the father's house, man, and they'd been off for weeks. They ain't done nothing around the house of God. I'm just bringing you an example. They ain't done anything. The brethren been laboring and getting a job done and building buildings and doing stuff as under the Lord, bringing in finances. And these men have been out doing nothing for God. And they come walking in the door and Brother George says, hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. Ain't seen you for a while. You know, man, isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Brother Dwight been over there for days in and days out, every single day. Some of you do something every couple of weeks, maybe every month or so on a church job. Think, man, I've done something. I'm talking about, brethren, there was men there, little Bethlehem, that were there daily, every single day, sacrificing and giving day after day after day after day, and going into weeks at a time, giving and giving and giving. And some of you murmur and complaining because you go out and do a church job, and then you get the fire going through the brotherhood. Oh, man, is that all we do is church jobs, this, that? You're murmuring and you're complaining, and you're going to find yourself, brothers and sisters, going through the fire. Are you listening? You guys get out there on your jobs and you murmur and complain and you start finding fault. You know, I don't have control what every brother does in this church. And you get out there and you say, hey, brother, you know, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And it's all to shoot at the pastor because you're murmuring and complaining against God. It's the same spirit. But you're so spiritual, you ain't going to see that. And all you're doing is trying to get strife going up within the realms of the brotherhood. Just because a brother ain't living right here, you can't point that at the pastor. You sit in the same services and hear me preach. But they always want to smite the pastor. Pastor. And the thing is I got a son, he's 30 years old or whatever he is, 25 years old, I guess. He's down there in jail. You want to make it the pastor's problem. Boy, this pastor's poured his heart out to that fella. He's poured his heart out and he's preached to him. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm a preacher. I preach the word of God and I preach the gospel. You know, and people don't understand. You know, they don't understand that sometimes it is God that's putting things apart. They don't understand that sometimes it's God putting things together. And they'll sit and reason it out in their religious mind and they'll use it to sow strife and discord in a brotherhood, and for all could do one thing and smite the shepherd and lift them up as somebody that's spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to take heed to what's being said. Give your life as a living sacrifice. Get out of human reasoning. Get out of carnality. Get out of thinking so highly of yourself. Get out of those things and let's serve God. We're a unity. We should be in one mind and one accord. Brothers and sisters, I know it sounds like a strong exhortation. I love you and I think that we're one of the greatest strengths of a unity and of men pulling together that is in this world. But still, there is a fleshly mind that has a fleshly appetite that is consuming and trying to consume some of you. And I got to say, hey, wake up. Look at the wiles of the enemy. He's coming in on you. They said it was sin that was laying in the camp. I say when the sons of God came to present themselves that the devil was there also. And I tell you, you know, like, oh yeah, I came to church today. I'm a son of God. And look over to the right and look over to the left and look over here. Which one of you is the devil? And like I said, that scripture is true if you come to church by yourself. That scripture is true for Brother Rob. If I'm the only one that comes to church and I say, praise God, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for washing me and cleansing me. Praise God, I'm the son of God. I'm here, man. Hallelujah. Where's everybody at? Is this Sunday? And I'm the only one here, but you know what? The scripture's still true. The devil's here also. The devil came to kill, destroy, came to rob. It doesn't have to have somebody in his presence to be talking to you. Yes, the devil will use somebody. Might use a brother like he used Peter. And the Lord said, get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things of the flesh. Yes, he'll use a brother. He'll use a sister. You have to beware of that. But when the brother and sister ain't around, he's still talking to you. He's got you reasoning in your mind. He's got you reasoning against the truth. He's got you reasoning. And he'll sit there and have you thinking so highly of yourself and looking down on everybody else. That's the mind of the devil. He's going to exalt you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to make you the one. He's going to make you the man. And when he's lifting you up, let me tell you something. He's lifting you up for one thing, and that's crucifixion. And the Lord is suffering it, and the Lord is allowing it. Man, let the old devil lift you up on that cross. Amen. Let him put you up there. God's suffering it. Jesus had his way. God had his way in Jesus being lifted up. And boy, you'll get lifted up, man. You the man. Amen. But get ready because the crucifixion's coming. And don't curse God. Brothers and sisters, we need to find the mind of God in our lives. We need to start differentiating between dimensional projections of what's happening around about us that we can understand it and know it. There's many times that we're blaming the devil and saying, oh, this and that, and man, and we're seeking after the Lord, and the Lord, evil can't come to that city lest he sends it. And what you need to do to turn that thing around, you see, you know, Lord, I recognize what you're doing here. Hey, Lord, you're doing this to show your strength, and I submit to your strength. Lord, I know that I'm weak, but you are strong. And in my weakness, I'm crying out for the strength of a living God. Let your supernatural Holy Ghost strength be shown forth within the weakness of this first birth. Lord, I'm calling upon you and I'm trusting you. Lord, I know that I'm established on that rock and I'm not going to be moved. No devil of hell is going to move me from where I'm at because I'm established and I've got my foot planted and I've got a taproot down in faith in God. Amen. This is the way you speak. And when these persecutions and these tribulations, if it's in the health, if it's in the finances, if it's in whatever it is, you stand and you say, God, I know that this is working for my good. Brothers, the Bible said on the day of adversity to consider. Consider yourself. Consider and see that you be in the faith. Brothers and sisters, sometimes there's tribulations and persecutions coming to you that you could be strengthened and draw people unto God. Sometimes they're coming because of hidden sin in your lives. Sometimes they come because you're murmuring and complaining against the truth and against God and against God's people. I'm telling you like this. If you can't love Brother Rob, you cannot love God that you cannot see. You say, man, that's tough. You preach a lot of tough stuff, but that's tough. You say, Brother Rob, that's tough. Well, I'm just telling you. You know, you pass from death and life because you love the brethren, and I'm a brother in the Lord. And I'll go on to say that if you hate me, the Bible says you hate him first. That you hated him first, and that's why you have hatred towards me. That's why you would have animosity towards me. When you reason against me and thinking yourself more highly than I, then you're thinking too highly of yourself. You see, what am I supposed to esteem you greater than myself? That's what the Bible says. And I got to esteem you greater. You see, this is why Brother Rob isn't moved by the things of the flesh when it comes to dealing with people and personalities. I do good to them, even the wretched, even the wrong, even the ignorant. It don't matter because I'm commanded to do that. That's how we show the love of God. It's so easy when you come up and say, Brother Rob, I love you. And it's so easy for me to say, hey, I love you too. But when you've rended me and lied against the truth and the Lord shows your voice ringing in the winds of discord and strife and murmuring and complaining and all those things. And I say, you know, I love you. And you say, I love you too. When you turn and smite. You see, it looks like I'm bringing it to myself. You know, I have to bring the word, but I'm talking about realities, brothers and sisters. And at many times that you are so guilty of. This little individual the other day that's ruined their life, lost their family, and been strung out on dope and everything like that. I was simply trying to be nice. I couldn't speak the word. She was against the Bible, against the word, against God. Hated everybody, everything. So I just tried to say, well, you know, you need to broaden your horizons. You need to look at things from a broader perspective of life. I said, you live in a little small world. And sometimes you live in a little world of tunnel vision. And this is the way you look at the whole world through a little pipe. And you only see little pieces at a time. When another person could open it up and see a broader scope of life. And this is what I was trying to tell her. And the report comes back to me. She says, no, you're the one with tunnel vision. You know, if it ain't your God. And if I don't think like you think. And if I don't do like you do, then I'm no good. So I have tunnel vision. But let me tell you about my tunnel vision. Brothers and sisters, this has opened up another whole life, another whole vision. I'm not the one in trouble in the perspective that the little sister was in trouble. I'm not the one that had the warrants for my arrest. I'm not the one that's addicted to a methamphetamine. I'm not the one that is so bound up with tobacco addictions. I'm not the one that had bitterness and hatred in my heart. I'm not the one that was cursing God. I'm not the one that had my children taken away from me and somebody else raising them. And I said, I could help you. And I said, maybe I do see things somewhat what you might say is a tunnel vision, but I don't see it in my way. I see it in his way. And brothers and sisters, it's God's way. And when Brother Rob gets in God's way, then God knocks down Brother Rob and gets Brother Rob out of the way. And sometimes the Lord, brothers and sisters, will make sure that Brother Rob Coons isn't running things of God. And God will have me go something that seems so contrary to his way to make sure that I'm listening to him. I watch that happen in Brother Pike's life so oftentimes I'd see things. You know, well, bless God, I know how to build. Or bless God, I know how to weld. Bless God, I know how to fix a car. Bless God. Brother George say, do this. I think, well, that's backwards. But sometimes the Lord would have them do that to find out who would submit and who would follow and who would, how they'd lead. And why others would be murmuring and complaining. I told you I remodeled his kitchens 3 times. See, I could have been finding fault with him. Man, what's wrong with you? Man, this is the Lord's finances and money, man. What are you doing? You know, you put a refrigerator over here. Now you want to tear it down, tear all the cabinets down, move it over here. We got to tear the cabinets tops down. Man, what are you going to do? Waste money? What's wrong with you, preacher? I tell you, I'm talking the way you talk and think, some of you. I don't think that way. God knows my heart. And I said, sure, that's what you want to do is move it. But see, he wasn't remodeling a kitchen, he was remodeling a preacher. Finding out where my mind was at, where my heart was at. Yeah, sure, if you want to move, I moved it. Done it 3 times. But see, I could have been, man, I got to get back out to work. I got to get back out on the job. I can't just keep on redoing your kitchen. I can't move these things around. You know, I can't do this. Let's take that perfume and sell it to somebody and use the money for the needy. You see, what kind of mind's that? You see, but how many thousands of dollars do we spend to win a soul? And sometimes people will watch things, say, man, you know, why don't we do this with the money? Why don't we do that? Or why don't we do this? You know what, brothers and sisters, we're led by the Spirit of God. People found fault with Brother Pike. What do you have an airplane for? Why don't you take, and you know, it was an airplane that got me to come by there. I never would have met the brother. And then he came and remodeled me. What if it wasn't for the buses that maybe people found fault that maybe he bought, that maybe didn't go somewhere, take people to bring people in? I wouldn't have grandchildren here today if it wasn't for a bus that broke down over in Houston, Texas. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes we are so busy murmuring and complaining and reasoning about what we think in our own finite little minds that we need to understand that we're serving a supernatural God that has his way, brothers and sisters, in all things. And he can do in things that don't make no sense to you because his ways are not your ways. And this is why you murmur against God, because you try to make God think like you think instead of you start thinking like God thinks. What is $1 million in God? It's nothing. What is $1 billion? He says if you win this whole world and you lose your soul, what is that? You see, and you can't weigh God out in finances. You can't weigh God out in health. There's people that are blind that have a true, genuine relationship, have vision and sight into the Spirit and have fellowship with God. And there's other people with 20/20 vision that have never seen God. Which one would you rather be? There's people that are so prospering in the things of God that don't even have food in their refrigerator, but they're prospering in the Lord. And they would be considered prosperous. And they know that God will provide. Brother Pike talked about being on the evangelistic field, and one of his little babies was crying and wanted ice cream. And he said, Lord, I don't have anything. I don't have no finances. I don't have no money. And he said, Lord, would you provide? And he prayed and he said, it started snowing. And he went out and gathered up the snow and made the little kid snow scream. Suffice the kid. And he said, you know what? My God's alive. Do you know God in the little things? There was a little testimony wrote by one of Brother George's son, Brother David. I can't remember exactly what it was talking about, praising God in the little things. But he said he took his father to dinner or something. And then his dad, he said, man, I got enough. And he's calculating it up. And he said, man, his dad said, hey, I'd like a piece of pie. And his dad never carried money. And he goes, oh, my. Boy, this is going to make me go over. I don't know. But his dad, you know, sure, dad. So he counts up his money and he's checking his bill out. And he's a 25 cent shy. He goes up the counter. He said, God, I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to have to do something. And the guy was standing in front of him, paid his bill. And a lady gave him a quarter change. And he goes, oh, that's all right. And he left it laying there. And David stepped up to the thing and said, thank you. I needed that. Do you know God in the little things? Sometimes we don't know God in the little things, and we never see him in the big things. Sometimes we're not looking for God in those things. Like I said, if you're on a 40-hour salary and you get a paycheck at the end of the week, you need to look at things and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give your 10% of that. And you'll add back 100-fold and you'll see it the next Friday, because if you made $100 and you gave 10% of that's $10, guess what? You're going to have another $100 next Friday. Maybe you ought to give a dollar more, maybe give 11 and maybe you'll get a raise next Friday. Did you ever consider that? It works. What are you doing, preacher, pleading for money? No, I'll use Andy for an example. He wanted to go to Israel. I think he was $1,200 shy of being able to go to Israel, pay for his tickets on the deadline. The next day, guess what he did? Instead of saying, well, you know what? I need $1,200 and man, you know, thus us or whatever. But you know what he did? He went over to Little Bethlehem and he paid $120 tithes. But he went over and he tithed it. And guess what? It came. Sometimes we're so busy trying to figure out and we rob God and we do this and that. And you know, sometimes, you know, we can do things by faith and he can meet a need and make a way. Amen. I'm just talking to you about another world and another mind. There is a mind of God, brothers and sisters. And when you think in your mind's contrary to his mind. When you reason God out, that's what they were doing in the wilderness there. And they were reasoning, they were murmuring and complaining against God. Why did you lead us out here? Man, we had the garlic and we had the onions. You know, we had everything that we had there in Egypt. And why'd you lead us out here to die? Why? See, they were murmuring and complaining against God. God made a way. God made a way. God's made a way for many of you, and you're murmuring and complaining. And he showed his mercy and his grace, but how long is it going to be sufficient for you? How long is his grace going to continue on for you when you murmur and complain against God? And nothing that God gives you and does for you is good enough. And sometimes you got fleshly appetites, and when he's blessing you, he gave them manna, but they wanted flesh. He's given you things that pertain unto life and give you things, but you want flesh. You want the world. You want the appetite of the world, the love of the world, and the things of the world. And you get a worldly appetite, and he'll let you have them. Matter of fact, he'll bring it, it's flowing out your nostrils, and it'll consume you. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's pestilences out here in the world that consume the trees. They'll consume the crops. They've got things of going out there with pesticides, trying to kill them off and stop them. But there's things invading that'll eat this world up. It'll eat all the food supplies up and just consume them. And mankind would starve to death. There's things in this fleshly body do the same thing. They'll consume. There's diseases that humanity and mankind doesn't have the cures for. And it's showing the same thing, consuming. And there's people by spiritual principalities and powers that are consuming them and consuming them alive. In closing thought, as I was in Bethlehem, when Brother Pike was in the basement and several brethren around, I can't remember all was there, but he was just talking about heavenly things and got into the revelation of the Lord in such an awesome, beautiful spirit of revelation and such a peace and awesomeness. And you know, and I'm sitting there like, man, you know what? We have arrived in heaven. Just beautiful. And I walked out the door and parked up at the back far side parking lot. And I'm walking up by the church and a man comes storming across the grass. And I mean, he's walking fast. And he comes, I said, man, Brother Robbie said, everything, man, is coming apart, man. It's all done. You know, and I mean, his mind was just running like troubled waters, man. I mean, terrible. And I'm like, wow. Sometimes people find out in drugs. Some of the guys that went over to Vietnam, the enemy, they're closing in on. Bob would know what I'm speaking about, being over there. But they're closing in on them and stuff, you know, and they're smoking dope, eating LSD, and it's like, wow. You know, who cares? Some people find that who care things. But I mean, I use that as an example. People try to find stopping of those minds and all those things. They find it in a whiskey bottle. They find it on methamphetamine. They find it in cocaine, you know, or alcohol, whatever it is. But you know what? There is a place that you can partake of in God and drink of that. And you'll never thirst for the things of the world. But as this man was so distraught in his mind, and I'm like, almost like this one that was spaced out on drugs. And I'm just going like, wow, man, where are you coming from, buddy? I mean, this is beautiful. Man, we're in heaven. This is such a beautiful place. But see, he was in another world, judging it from another mind. And his world truly was closing in on him. And the world opened up and swallowed him up. And the man died with cancer not many days, weeks, I should say, after that. You see, another man comes into men's meeting in perfect unity and everything's fine. And another one comes in and comes against the brotherhood, comes against the preacher and stuff, dies not too many days later. You say, what are you saying, Brother Rob? I'm just talking about the things of God. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, the Bible said that there are sick and afflicted among us because they do not know how to discern the body of God. They don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. I could discern the body of Christ in my brother Isaac if I do unreasonable to him and ungodly unto him. If I take advantage of him, I do that as unto the Lord Jesus. I rob him and take advantage of him. I just robbed God. I take and merchandise his life and his things. I do that unto the Lord. I spit in God's face. I mock God. When I take advantage of my brother Andy or brother Randy or brother Jeff or brother Ed, whoever it is, when I take advantage of a brother in this church, I'm spitting in God's face. Do you realize that? When I merchandise a brethren to make well means for myself, I spit in God's face. You see, what I do to the least of these, my brethren, is what I do unto him. When I speak against a brother, I speak against God. When I speak of a shortcoming or a failure in your life, of a stumbling and a staggering before the Lord, and I do it in a way of love of God, that somebody else that's walking with you ain't going to fall in the same snare that you're in, then I'm doing it as saving a soul. There's a fine balance right there. And some of you try to take and make your gossip religious. I had a woman leave this church because she wanted to start these prayer meetings and stuff. She just wanted to bring people to say, oh, we need to have prayer meetings. And I said, I'm not putting my blessing on it. Oh, but preacher, you know, you can't stop us from having prayer meetings. You know, surely that's what we need to do. No, their prayer meetings turn into glorified gossip sessions. Well, let's pray for brother such and such. You know what he did? He done thus, thus, and thus. But we're going to make it okay to gossip because now we're going to pray for him. We have about 45 minutes of tale-bearer gossip and about 2 minutes of prayer. You see, that's why those things don't happen. And that's why many of those things that you would think would be of God would be the things to destroy God and tear the things of God down. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a mind of God, there's an order of God, and there's a walk in the Spirit. And we walk in the Spirit. We don't pierce each other through, nor do we break ranks, and we got to walk within that. We submit ourselves one to another. We esteem others greater than ourselves. And when we start doing that, we'll find peace and tranquility and the love of God. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Brothers and sisters, make yourself available to the things of God. Start looking for the others that maybe have needs and start looking for opportunities. We'll say, Brother Rob, my refrigerator's a little weak looking right now. We'll open it up then and give what's in there away. Man, Brother Rob, I can't do that. Well, the reason you can't do that is the reason it'll never be full. If you're in need, you got to give yourself out of need. If you're hungry and you start giving food away, you will never run out of food. It's the way God works. That's the way God works. The little widow said, look, man, I've only got enough food for, you know, me and my son. Let us eat that and go die. But the prophet of God said, no, Make me something to eat and you'll never run out. Can you believe that prophet of God's thought so highly of himself to tell this woman to let her and her little son starve and die and to feed him? He thought so highly of himself and thought himself so much better than the widow and the child. No, he had tapped into the supernatural of God, and he said, if you would do this as unto the Lord, then that meal barrel and that oil never run dry. And it didn't. It sustained life. You see, he knew something and tapped into something. Brother Pike made a statement. He said, I live in the house of plenty. He said, my refrigerator's open and I'm giving food and I'm giving things away. And he said, it keeps filling back up. Guess what? When he shut them doors and quit giving it out, it would quit filling up. Sometimes you tap into the things of God and you walk into the prosperity and you walk into blessings because you've tapped into the supernatural means of God. And then all of a sudden you take it to yourself and it dries up. And it's not there. You see, it's just God saying, hey, wait a minute. Consider your ways. See if you still be in the faith. It's wonderful to talk about the power of the Holy Ghost pouring out on you yesterday. It's wonderful to talk about God's healing word yesterday. It's wonderful to talk about those things yesterday. But brothers and sisters, let's talk about today, what God is doing for us today. If we find ourselves in the storm of life is blowing and we find it in our trees bending over, or we find our foundations being shaken, we need to say, praise the living God, hallelujah, and I'm going to stand. And if it blows a board off, do the best you can to get the board screwed back on and get down there and hold faith and stand fast. Amen. When the adversary, the devil, comes in and moves against you like a flood, stand strong. And when you've done all that you could do, the Bible says continue to stand. Don't start murmuring and complaining. That's when it'll sweep you away. Stand and say, praise God, hallelujah. My God is sufficient. My God is alive. My God is well, amen. And my God is having his way in the good and in the evil. And my God is a provider. And he's allowing this thing to come that others could see Christ in my life. And they could come to know that God is alive and well. And that he is in the affairs of humanity and mankind. Let's rejoice and let's praise him. And let's magnify the name of the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning. Do you know that wonderful grace of God? I know it's wonderful grace. You know how I know it? I still got breath going in and out my lungs. Amen. I know the grace of a living God. Hallelujah. I know that he's a just God and he's a righteous God. Amen. And I know it is appointed unto me once to die and face the judgments of God. I died that life of Rob Coons in faith in God. I died with Christ at the cross of Calvary, and I've given everything that I can back unto the Lord. And I say, God, here I am. Use me. Let this life be a living sacrifice by reasonable service. Amen. Have you given him your life? Give him your all. Give him your wife. Give him your husband. Give him your children. Give him your business. Give him your finance. Give him your health. Give him your strength. Give him everything. If you hold back, you're not worthy. If you love anything more than him, he's jealous. And you say, it don't seem fair. Why does God expect so much of us? It wasn't fair when he was nailed on the cross for you, was it? It wasn't fair when he was spit upon for you. It wasn't fair when his back was plowed like a field. That's the way you need to look at it. But he done all that for you and gave you everything. And when you give him back everything, he adds everything back to you. Brothers and sisters, when you give him your wife, then he'll teach you how to be a husband. And he'll make that wife so far better than anything that you could make. If you truly give him your business, he'll make it excel so far beyond your comprehension and your thoughts and your ways of what your natural abilities are. If you give him your children, he'll give them back unto you strong and healthy and restored. But you got to give them to him. But when you try to do it, you'll get in his way. He's the true heavenly Father. He knows what it is to be a father. Don't reason against him. Don't think that you know how to do it. Say, Lord, I know nothing, and know that you know all things, Lord. And help me, Jesus. Lead me, guide me, Almighty God. Teach me to be the father I need to be, the mother I need to be, the husband I need to be, the wife I need to be, the son I need to be, the daughter I need to be. Teach me to be the leader. Teach me to be the pastor. Teach me to be the employer. Teach me to be the employee. Teach me, oh God, to be a servant. Oh God, teach me, Lord, your ways and show me Lord God, that others could see good when good comes, that others could see Christ alive in the earth and they could come to know you, Lord Jesus. That should be your prayer this morning, amen. We're going to close in just a moment. The altars are open. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in the frustrations of life, the altars are open. You need to get away from the frustrations and enter into rest and enter into peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I needed a Savior, brothers and sisters. I needed salvation, and He came. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh Jesus, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord God, for life. Thank you, oh God, for salvation. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you, Lord God, for understanding. Thank you, Lord. Are you thankful that He washed your sins away? Are you thankful He put them as far as the east is from the west? That's something to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for cleansing. Thank you for washing. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just love Him and worship Him and praise Him. Praise God. You say, I don't know if I want to serve a God like you serve, Brother Rob. Sounds kind of crazy. I know His ways aren't your ways. His mind isn't your ways, and your ways are contrary to His ways. Amen. But I just entered into a rest. I say, hallelujah, God. I know You're having Your way. Amen. In all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know God that way? Do you fellowship Him that way? Do you serve Him that way? Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't know the depths of Satan, you'll never know the heights of God. You realize that? I told you one time, I said, you know, if you take the big positive battery cable and say, man, look at this. I got me a big old 48-volt battery in my airplane. Man, look at that big old cable on that thing. But you know what's got to have a big old cable over on the negative side too. And let me tell you something. You'll never know God in the depths and the heights and the widths and the lengths until you know Satan the same way. Because you're going to find yourself being magnified and exalted up before the throne of God through tribulations and persecutions of the devil. Amen. And how you come through those things, that either God's going to be glorified or Satan. Either your God, if your God is Satan, He's going to be glorified in it, and He's going to be numbered as a stealer, as a destroyer, as a killer in your life. Or your God is going to be recognized as salvation and a Savior and one to catch you away beyond the despairs and the things of this world. Rejoice in the Lord, brothers and sisters. I know what you're going through. Each and every one of you. I know what the perplexities are. I know the heights. I know when you feel like you're in the heights and the things of God and feel like you're the closest to God. Some of you don't feel close to God unless you're just really blessed and the things and the showering of His blessings. And you say, oh man, I love God. Hallelujah. But sometimes, you know, that's really not the way to know Him. Sometimes you got to know Him when you would like that little poem about the footprints in the sand. You know, where it said, Lord, where was you then? Oh, I was carrying you. Then you really learn to know God. Amen. Then you learn to know Him in His strength when He's carrying you. Amen. Hallelujah. God's never forsaken you. He's never left you. He's with you. He's in you. He's through you. Believe that and rejoice in the Lord and magnify His name and say, God, I know Your grace is sufficient and I know You won't put more on me than I could bear, Almighty God. Hallelujah. And you testify and you rejoice and you praise Him and He'll lead you, amen, through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. There are about 10,000 fall at your right, maybe 100,000 at your left, but He will lead you and He will guide you and He will save you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing another song as we look for a place to close the service. Amen. We love You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus, that Your hand is not short. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that all things work together for our good. We thank You, Almighty God, that it's all working after Your counsel. We love You, Lord. We rejoice in the wonderful name of a living God. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.